We're studying in Hebrews chapter 3. And I want to just read verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Last Sunday, we reflected upon the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling has to do with His coming kingdom and glory. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. This week I have had some correspondence from Romania, and there's a little body of believers over there of about 40 that have an appreciation for rewards for ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. And he asked me if I knew of a book or a booklet that would help friends to see the difference between rewards in the coming kingdom and salvation. The thing that he did was he equated salvation with the gift. And he wanted to be able to have a book that he could show the difference between the gift and rewards. The heavenly calling has to do with the gift of God. In the passage that I read in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 4, says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. The ability to do this is if God permits. God does not permit all of His children to enjoy these blessings. This passage of Scripture is not dealing with salvation. Actually, this passage of Scripture is dealing with faithfulness on our part. Verse 1 of Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. This word perfection also has the idea of completion, the consummation. We're talking about people here that have started because God permitted them to taste of the heavenly gift. God permitted them to be enlightened with the good word of God pertaining to the age to come. And He is warning those that have begun that if you quit, if you don't complete the race, it is impossible to reverse the consequences. So when you read, let us go on to completion, it's saying, let us continue the race. Let us continue to serve God and not quit. Because he says here, by not laying again the foundation of repentance, not starting over and over and over again. The Lord has allowed us to start over and over, but not very many times. That's the thing that the Lord wants us not to start over very much. He wants us to keep on the course and keep on the narrow way all the time, rather than just failing many times, though we all fail. So He is encouraging us to complete the race. In verse 4, we just read about tasting of the heavenly gift. There's a definite article, the, before gift. It's a particular gift. This gift is not salvation. That's the problem. People associate the gift of God with salvation, and that is a problem. And you'll see why in just a moment. So this heavenly gift, and it's the word doria, and I put the Greek word in there so that you can see it, be aware of it, because we're going to be looking at other words where that word is found, or other passages of Scripture where that word is found. And I want you to be able to relate to those different passages of Scripture. When it says we're made partakers of the Holy Spirit, this is not talking about being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. This is talking about being partakers or partners with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one who does the enlightening. He is the one who does open the Word of God to us. But He does indwell every child of God. But not every child of God can partake of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because God doesn't permit every child of God to partake of the Holy Spirit's ministry concerning the gift. Now, they do partake of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in other ways, conviction of sin and other blessings. So we're focusing on the gift in this passage of Scripture. He goes on and he says, "And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come." The prepositional phrase "to come" is in a present active. It's an infinitive, and it's referring to the coming millennial age, talking about the kingdom. "And if they shall fall away," we have already talked about falling away. Adam fell away. When Adam fell away, he didn't get back in the garden, did he? And so it was impossible to renew him again to repentance because of the level of the knowledge of the power of the kingdom, age, and the Word of God. He had knowledge that you and I will never have on this side of heaven, because he talked with God face to face, just like Moses. Except I think that he had a more advantage than Moses, because Moses only got to see him from behind. Now, I want to read in Romans chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto the many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the gift, or the free gift, is of many offenses unto justification." This verse of Scripture makes reference to the gift that we have already looked at in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "But not as the offense," that is, the falling away. That's the same, the verb form of this noun, offense, is only found in one place, and that is in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 6. Adam fell away. What are we talking about? We're talking about losing sovereignty or positions of honor and glory in the coming kingdom, is really what it amounts to. So also, not as the offense, so also the free gift. The word free is added by the translators. It's not in the compound of the word charisma. The word grace is in that word, and so I look at it as the grace gift. For if through the offense of one, the many be dead. I believe this is the many that have been called unto His kingdom and glory. This is not talking about salvation, the gift to all of mankind. This is a gift to the many. Okay? Much more, the grace of God and the gift, this is doria. This is the same Greek word that we found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. And this gift is by means of the grace of God. If you're going to enjoy the gift, the doria gift, you have it through the grace of God. It comes by grace. And not as if was by one that sin, so is the gift. That is, the gift that is by means of grace. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the grace gift is of many offenses unto justification. We've already talked about this. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise of ruling and reigning with Him. And so He does allow us more chances to change and to repent than He did Adam or that He did Moses. Moses didn't have but one. He just offended one time and he was barred from entering the land flowing with milk and honey. Adam and Eve sinned once and they were out. I am so thankful that we can fail more than once and still stand justified in His presence. That is an encouraging word. If you didn't get anything else out of the message, you get that, okay? He wants you to succeed. That's the thing that you need to get. Now, I want to read Romans chapter 6 and verse 22 and 23. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, everlasting or age-lasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here we find the gift of God is age-lasting life. But notice in verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God. You can be saved and yet a servant of sin. You and I can become bondservants of sin, addiction of all kinds. I mean, it's just not drugs, it's other things. But God says you've been delivered from the bondage of sin, and in particular the sin of lawlessness. And you have become servants of God. Now, since you are serving the Lord, you're to have your fruits unto holiness. You're to be faithful. Fruits has to do with faithful servants, service. Unto holiness, cleanness, separation. And if we serve faithfully, what will our end be? It says here, and the end, age-lasting life. Age-lasting honor. A life of honor in the coming kingdom. So what comes before eternal life or age-lasting life? faithful service. Eternal life cannot be salvation, because salvation is something we possess now. I'm saved now. I don't have eternal life yet. I'll have it, I'll enjoy it, if I finish, if I complete my course. Okay, let's go on. For the wages of sin is death. We all know that we've all been paid off because of sin. We've all sinned. And we've suffered the consequences of it. And we know what the wages are. And we know that if you die in sin, you will spend eternity separated from the Lord. And of course, in the lake of fire. So we're not dealing with the wages of sin. We're dealing with the gift of God. That's what we're talking about. The heavenly gift. Let's continue. For the gift of God is eternal life. And notice the word gift is the grace gift. Hopefully, in your mind and in your thinking, Romans 5, 15 and 16 establish the fact that the Doria gift and the Charisma gift is to the many, and they are the same gift. That's the reason why I went over verses 15 and 16 in Romans 5. And so we're talking about the same gift. And I'll show you that further in just a moment. And the end of faithful service, we will have age-lasting life or honor. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is age-lasting life. I think of the age-lasting life pertains to the crown of recognition. When we think about ruling and reigning, what do we think about? A crown. Is the crown our wages? No. The crown is the symbol of honor and respect, and the authority that goes with it. And all the ones with crowns, they are the ones who have faithfully served. I kind of parallel this with the gold watch. The gold watch that you get after years of service for a company is not your pay. That's not your wages. What is the gold watch for? Something you can take down and hawk? Well, you might do that. Probably won't get much. But anyway, the gold watch is in recognition of faithful service. A crown is recognition for faithful service. A crown is to symbolize the fact that you have not laid the foundation over and over and over again, but that you have finished your course. You have kept the faith. Therefore, there is a crown laid up, just like in Paul's life. So, the gold watch is for faithful service at retirement. What happens if you take a job with a company and knowing that you'll get a gold watch in 30 years and you quit after the first year? Are you going to go up to the CEO and say, "Where's my gold watch?" It's not going to be there for you. The same way in living for the Lord and serving the Lord. If you quit serving the Lord, you just better not look for the gold watch. You better not look for a crown. It will not be there for you. That's what we're talking about. The gift of God. Now, let me just insert this. A gift is something that can be taken back. Have you ever given somebody a gift and taken it back, or had someone do that to you? I've had somebody do that to me, and you know what we used to call them? Some of you grinning. Indian giver. That's what we used to call them. Well, I don't know whether that's a bad reflection on the Indians. I don't want to do that. But we used to say, you know, you're an Indian giver. You gave me something and you took it back. Did you know a gift can be taken back? It can be taken back. And let me just insert this because I see our time is really expiring. When you think about salvation, that has to do with conception and birth. When a child is conceived, can you take it back? No, you can't. When a child is born, you can't take it back. That's what salvation is. The gift of God pertains to the coming kingdom and glory. And it is offered to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And if you don't finish, that gift can be retracted. In fact, it's just like the gold watch again. If you only serve for a few years, don't go looking for a gold watch. There's no honor. I worked for the NCR, National Cash Register Company, for 8 years. I got no pension from them, and I didn't get a gold watch. I don't know whether NCR even gave gold watches, but anyway, the point is not to expect it. I think of a good illustration of this has to do or is found in Esther. Remember Mordecai and Haman and Ahasuerus? Well, in Esther 3:10 it says the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman. That was not a permanent, that was a gift. It was a gift to Haman. And that gift carried with it honor and power, just like a crown. Later on in chapter 8 it says, and the king took off his ring which he had taken from Haman. That gift that was given to Haman was taken back. And he gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. There's another interesting parallel to this. It's in Ezekiel 46. Thus saith the Lord God, if a prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. But if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his for the year, or to the year of liberty, or jubilee. After it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his sons for them. If you are a son and you receive an inheritance from the Lord, you're not going to ever lose that. Now, there's probably more in this that I'm going to share with you because I don't have everything together. But if you're just a servant, if you've just done that which is your duty to do, you may get something for the duty, but you're going to have to give it back. Okay. But you know what? Salvation is not that way. When you are saved, when you are born into the family of God, that cannot be taken back. I just thank the Lord for that truth. Once you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're born from above. And that cannot be taken back. I think that spending one more Sunday on the rest of this message would be of great value because there are some precious truths found in John 10, 4 and verse 10. And I'm going to just read some verses from John 4:10 so that you can see that the Lord used the gift of God in these verses, and it has to do with drinking of water. If your salvation is dependent upon drinking water, what happens if you quit drinking water? You can. My wife says, I don't drink enough water. And I don't, probably. But you know what? You can stop drinking water. Does that mean you lose the gift of God? Yes, you do. But that's not salvation. Let me just read John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and this word gift here is doria gift. This is the same gift that is referred to of tasting the heavenly doria. This is the gift of God that pertains to His kingdom. Let's continue. And who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink. Thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's talking about the physical water out of the well of Jacob. But whosoever, or actually a better translation, but the one drinking of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto age-lasting life. It will spring up a crown of honor and glory. It will spring up unto a gold watch at the end. If you keep on drinking, and that word drinketh is a present active participle. And notice this too. Let me just throw this in. It's the one. The King James says, whosoever. Let me tell you, it's not whosoever will can enter the kingdom. It's only the called. That's the reason why the translation, the one drinking of the water will have life in the coming kingdom of honor and glory. You'll have the gold watch, you'll have the crown of gold, a crown of honor and glory, and that's based upon faithfulness to the end. May God help us to be faithful to Him today, because today is the day that we can fall away in sin. And we don't want to do that. We want to finish. The Lord says, if you endure, you'll reign with me. If you don't, you won't. Period. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 11 or 12 right along in there. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the message to each of our hearts. We just thank you with all of our hearts that our salvation is not dependent upon us drinking, that our salvation is not dependent upon serving faithfully and having our fruits unto holiness, but our salvation is dependent upon whether or not we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and are born into your family. We know that that can never be reversed. You can't take it back. So, Father, I just pray that you would encourage each of us to continue to be faithful to you as we seek to honor you and to be faithful to finish our course, that one day we might enjoy the crown. And with that crown, honor and respect and authority and power to continue to do your will in the millennial reign of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.